performing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today, the February 16th, and we are excited to have a Team USA member in our No Joke Football Huddle, Leah Hindle of the Portland Shockwave, and also a member of Team USA, and we'll get with Leah in a couple minutes here. But welcome back to Erica Lynn Anderson, who's gotten her voice back. So, Erica, are you on?
I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Awesome. Unfortunately, Erica, you missed out on Scott McCarron's, Super Bowl recap, but I'm pretty sure you communicate with him on Twitter, as I can see. And today we'll give you an opportunity to respond to some of Scott's, obviously, comments and all in good favor. But overall, what did you think of the Super Bowl since we didn't get an opportunity to get you on last week?
You know, it was a good game. It was a surprising game, though, you know, to see Denver's offense kind of fall flat that way. I really expected more out of them. In their defense as well, I mean, you know, they had some defensive points, Seattle did, but I just expected more out of Denver as a whole. And what I gathered was that just Seattle wanted that so badly. You know, they really came out, they looked so much better than they did against San Francisco in the NFC Championship. Because my thought was that if they played Denver like they played San Francisco, that they, you know, the game was going to be, the Seattle may lose, but they looked so much better than they did, and they came out and just really showed everybody that they wanted that, they wanted to win, and they were going to stop at nothing to do it, and, you know, they achieved it. But I really did. I just expected more out of Denver. And I think, like you said last week, I think that safety really threw them off. I think that having that botched snap and then the safety, I think it was just starting a game off that way and then trying to get in your rhythm is a hard thing. And I just saw everything just went downhill from there for Denver. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most people were calling it as a boring game, but I thought of it as a very good game. And in terms of a defensive, if you were looking for defensive men, and we don't get that many Super Bowls in the defensive state. So in that regard, yeah, maybe it was a boring game offensively because it was one-sided. But, on the other end, you have to praise Seattle and their coaching and everybody else. And they came out, like you said, for a victory. They didn't come out to do anything else but that. And Denver's errors just contributed to that, and then they played so aggressive all game that they didn't let up.
Yeah, and I think we expected it to be, Seattle's defense obviously is really their crowning jewel, is really what they excel at, but I expected more of an offensive game because of Denver. You know, that's really what Denver brings to the table, and that's why the game was so interesting, was you had the number one defense and the number one offense, and, Denver just didn't have a good game. They just, you know, it's not the day to have a bad day, but, you know, unfortunately for them, it just, they had a bad day, so.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, in a good sense, Seattle was deserving. They were the best team all year, and they sort of proved it at the end in the biggest stage, so you got to give hats off to them.
Yeah.
They didn't change their game plan. They stuck to their way that they were playing all year, and, you know, besides the Arizona game, that there was a hiccup there. The rest of the way, they showed that they obviously were capable of, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you really do have to give it to Seattle. I mean, they set out to go to the Super Bowl and win it, and they worked hard all year, and they did it. So, it was a big win for them, the first, Lombardi Trophy for the franchise, and that's a huge deal. So, I'm sure it was a huge win for players and coaches and the fan base. So, yeah.
So we have today some of the recap we're going to have on the recaps on the Twitter feed because of the time constraints that we have today, just to let all the fans know that follow us. The Liga Nacional de Football Americana, the female league in Spain, week two recap will be on our Twitter feed, and you can also follow the recap on at fieldgoal underscore EU. You can also go to FNF underscore Spain or FIFA, FEFA underscore Spain for the results, and we'll have some details on the Twitter feed as well as Facebook on the recap for the weekend on Saturday and Sunday games, as well as the LIBF event that's going to be happening February 22nd, and that's going to be in Reynosa, Tamaulipas, Mexico, and that's part of the League of Bikini Football League, the LIBF in Mexico, and that's going to be happening on February 22nd in the women's game. We also want to give a shout-out to at Women's Gridiron, which is a new Twitter site. Please follow them. Everything all Australian news in terms of the women's game, especially now that it's going towards the state trials and it's going towards the 2017 Women's World Championship. At Women's Gridiron is going to be following them closely. Updates on tryouts, updates on what's happening within the leagues. Great resource there. As well as at Miss Gridiron 9 on Twitter, all the news and notes, plus some great apparel there. So you can follow her at Miss Gridiron 9, also at MissGridiron.com. And you can find us on UltimateSportsTalk.com. Going forward, UltimateSportsTalk.com, where you can find everything news all about sports, WWE, MMA, and everything else in sports, including our podcast. So UltimateSports.com, as well as here on BlogTalkRadio.com. Let's go into the No Joke Football Huddle. And today we have a special guest. We have Leah Hindle, Team USA member, as well as Portland Shockwave member, and part of the At Tackle Girls Project as well. So let's bring in Leah Hindle of the Portland Shockwave into the No Joke Football Huddle. No Joke Football Huddle is brought to you by No Joke Football at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, and sport your attitude. So, Leah, are you on?
I'm here. Hi.
Awesome. Leah, welcome. You're on with myself and Erica Lynn Anderson.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Leah, big news coming out of the this weekend. There's a lot of things that happened this weekend. I'm pretty sure you're aware of them because one of your teammates makes history in Texas. She gets signed to the Indoor Football League as part of the Texas Revolution. And we're obviously talking about Dr. Jen Welker, and I'm pretty sure you know her very well. So what was your reaction when you figured out she was signed, and your reaction now that obviously she's playing out for real? It's not just an announcement. She's actually part of the roster.
My reaction was I was excited for Jen. I think that this is going to get a lot more attention for women's tackle football, and that's always a good thing. And I'm really happy for her just personally. I wish her all the best in her endeavors. She was a teammate of mine from both 2010 and 2013 on Team USA. So I know Jen well, and I'm really proud of her, and I'm happy for her.
Now, Leah, do you see anything that would hinder her besides injury that would keep her out of a game or anything like that? Because last night they put her in the third quarter. Everybody was hyped to see her out there, and she finally ended the game with a positive yard. So in one sense, that's a great move. In another sense, I think she just needs more reps, and I think she'll be very impactful, as some of the players on the team were saying.
Yeah, I think there's very little that could stop Jen Welker from achieving what she sets her mind to. So, like you said, besides, potential injury, I think she can take it all the way.
Awesome. So, Leah, tell our fans a little bit about your experience in the women's pro game, how many years, and I know you were part of the two teams that obviously are historic for women's game. You went to, I believe, Stockholm and in Finland. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your experience in the women's game so far in the WFA and as well as the world stage.
I have been playing women's tackle football for 10 years. I'm about ready to start my 11th season playing. My first 6 years were spent with a team in a small town of Corvallis, Oregon, home of the Oregon State Beavers, if you know college. And I played for them for 6 years, and then my team folded. And that was the same year that I was chosen for the 2010 Team USA, the first Women's World Championship. And in order to stay eligible for Team USA, I needed to continue to play football. And so I had to join a rival team here in Oregon. I joined the Portland Shockwave, and that's who I currently play for. And I'm about ready to start my fifth season with them. And last year I was in my second Women's World Championship in Finland. And it's been an amazing decade. I joined the sport when it was still pretty young, and football was pretty new for women. And now it's really grown and developed, and it's maturing. And I'm really excited to have been a part of that in the last decade.
Now, Leah, I ask everybody that I bring on a little bit of thing, you know, about coaching. Do you think that beyond the stage where you're not able to play on a, you know, on a high performance level, do you feel like at this point you'd be inclined to maybe go into a coaching mentality within the game? I know they're working on it in Canada with an initiative to where some of the women in the Maritime as well as the women in the Western Canadian League are getting an opportunity to coach or to be mentored on the Football Canada stage, so that way they can evolve as coaches as well, not just for the women's game, but obviously to participate maybe in a position in a college level or maybe even on a men's squad. Do you feel that obviously that's exciting, but do you think that's going to happen at some point here in the States maybe?
Yes, I think so. There's actually a lot of my teammates that are branching out into the coaching world, including myself. I just started coaching 2 years ago at the 7th and 8th grade youth football level, and I'm hoping to move up to the high school level, and, you know, it's just a stepping stone from there. I think that women are very capable of being great football coaches, and I think that is our next step in the world of football is the coaching realm.
Now, I know that, you know, the event was huge. You know, live stream was amazing this time around versus the 2010. And I know that with the USA football backing it up now as a, you know, as a membership state, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes that we're not aware of right now. But I'm being told that USA football has obviously taken the ball and running with it, and they're going to start to do what the men's squads have done, you know, the under-19, under-17. And because girls don't go into football as early as boys do, do you think at this point that's going to be worked into, just like the Manitoba Girls Football League is being done right now, and that's been going on for a while, and it's been very successful from what we know. So I think that's going to work really good in terms of progressing girls that want to play football going forward into a high school level as well as a college mentality.
I agree. I think we need to follow Canada's example. They have a great program for young girls to start playing tackle at a much earlier age. And I think that we can follow their example and start building programs here in the United States. We already have flag programs that are cropping up all over the U.S., but I think with particularly the leadership of Sam Rappaport of USA Football, that we can start to move beyond just flag and build programs for girls in tackle, and that way we will have girls who are ready to play on those teenage teams for the USA.
Now, Leah, we had the Taco Girls documentary weekend. It was about another, I think, a weekend ago or so. Were you able to make it to New York at this point?
I did make it to New York, yes. It was a wonderful trip. It was my first time in New York, and to see all of us up there on the silver screen was amazing. It was a really good trip.
Now, I know that that's coming out, and it's in the works to maybe go into theaters and things like that, and we've talked to the producers of the documentary, so hopefully it will, you know, launch to a state, nationwide, beyond just a, a small premiere like that. But we're crossing our fingers, and I know they're working hard to get it up and running into a major, major feed, so that's going to be great. Leah, looking forward to it. I had Scott McCarron. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with him, the owner of the Seattle Majestics. And apparently he's looking forward to meeting you on the stage on April 5th. So can you tell us a little bit about the Shockwave? And I know you probably are the better squad. I'm sorry, Scott. But what do you think of the opening game against Seattle?
We always love playing Seattle. I think it would be the closest thing that we have to a rivalry. Seattle always brings it. They're a great organization. And I'm really excited to play a really good team right off the bat, as our first game, so that we have the pressure and the excitement right at the beginning of the season, so that we're on top of our game right off the bat. Sometimes the season starts off a little slow, and I would rather start it off with a really high-intensity game.
Now, Leah,
I'm assuming
you're a Seahawks fan.
Well, I don't actually follow any one team, surprisingly. A lot of people have their favorite team, but I don't. I do like some things about the Seahawks. I think they're amazing defensively. Defense is my favorite side of the ball, so I do appreciate their defense, but I wouldn't say I'm a fan.
And Erica would agree with you right now. She's a Patriots fan.
Yes.
So did you think it was going to happen, Seattle going all the way? Everybody had just assumed they were the better team, but did you even anticipate that it was going to be such a defensive-minded matchup in the Super Bowl?
I did anticipate that, because I do believe that defense, a good defense, and special teams too. I mean, let's not forget about Seattle's special teams, big role in that game. But I believe that defense is the best offense, really. So I wasn't really surprised that the Seahawks won. I was surprised that nothing really happened offensively for the Broncos, but I wasn't surprised that the Seahawks won, no.
Yeah, I think everybody was on the same page. You were kind of disappointed that Peyton Manning didn't play as well, but, I mean, they just played so well defensively that they didn't give them opportunities, and so they kept them contained the whole game, and I thought for sure there was going to be a shutout, and I was thinking of one of my friends. I was saying they got to kick a field goal or something, even if it's 60 yards, just before they got that touchdown. Because I said this is going to be horrific. Horrible, one for the ages, which is on a bad site.
Mm-hmm.
That was not going to look good. Leah, let's talk about a real sensitive subject in a lot of ways, but not in most ways. We know, and everybody knows, in the women's game. There's obviously gays and lesbians, and it's been, it's proven. You work with them, you play with players with a certain outside endeavor with gender or preferences and stuff like that, if you want to put it in nice terms. The NFL, because Michael Sam came out, and the NFL has always had gay players, but apparently from what the media is being told, they had never literally disclosed beyond the locker room. So what's your sense on, him getting on a roster, maybe? That's the question. And if he gets cut, will will he have the excuse, as most people are saying, he'll have the excuse because that he's going to get cut because of his, you know, off-field preference in terms of, you know, sexuality.
Mm-hmm. You know, you called it a sensitive subject, and you know, I would disagree and say that it's only a sensitive subject because people make it sensitive because they sensationalize it. In my experience, you know, my teammate's sexuality does not affect how I feel about them or how well we play together or what happens in the locker room. It really doesn't have an impact on my team or my teammates. So, you know, my feeling about it is that it doesn't really matter, that really it's not that big a deal. It's really nobody's business, actually. You know, when men go into the NFL draft, we no longer talk about race. You know, we don't say that, oh, you know, he's a black quarterback or he's a white wide receiver. And I hope that someday we can get to that point where it's the same with sexuality. It doesn't matter whether they're gay or straight or bisexual or whatever. It just should be a non-issue. It doesn't have anything to do with how well they can play the game. And that's what should matter
now,
when you're being drafted.
With the same token, everybody's just, their concern is he's the first player to disclose this prior to being drafted. But
mm-hmm.
with the same token, you think he's going to have a harder time getting on a roster. That's pretty much what it ends up because he discloses sexual preference up front. And we're talking men, the men's game in general. I mean, because on the ladies' side, to your point, it's a non-issue because you're playing side-by-side with anybody, and it's basically can you contribute to the team or you cannot. But since they've made this such a national stage, it just makes it seem like, you know, he's either going to be held back or he's going to have a harder time being accepted. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's a lot of intangibles behind it. So I don't know if it was a good thing for him to come out early or he should have waited until he got on a roster and then maybe did that because he's more accepted. So it's, like I said, it's a very sensitive topic because of the fact that it's not common to have an individual like that in the NFL, you know, come out full-blown and say, this is it, I'm very proud to be what I am, you know, gay man or whatever. Now it's just it's an issue where it's being talked about all those locker rooms, you know, I would call it nonsense because the reality is, like you said, it's all based on performance. If he can contribute and play at the position he's assigned to and do that, that's all that really matters.
Yes, yes. I believe that is all that really matters. And you know, people should be who they are, and this is who he is. And so, well, some people say, well, maybe he should have waited to announce to the world or to come out to the world until after he had been drafted, but that's who he is. And so I think that he did the right thing in just being who he is and, you know, take me or leave me. This is who I am, and if you can accept that, then you know, he's saying, I don't want to be a part of your organization. If that's a problem for you, it's not a problem for me. So I think it's brave of him, and I appreciate it. I appreciate what he's done, just being himself. And I think that that he will be successful, because I think that people are going to celebrate that, and I think he is going to be given the opportunities that he deserves based on his play.
And like any other athlete, he's got drawbacks and he's got everything else, but ultimately the decision will be made based on his performance in practice and obviously his performance and contribution to the roster. So that's the bottom line, I think, on the topic, because, like you said, the off-field endeavors are those privately anyways, so it shouldn't matter at this point. As long as he can contribute to a squad and make that squad successful, then that will go away. And the
mm-hmm.
players, to your point, players will embrace the individual based on their performance, not based on anything else they do. So that's, you know, it's like just like anything, like I told somebody else before, if somebody comes out and says, I'm an alcoholic, but I want to just go to the draft, I'm just disclosing that I'm messed up, you know, in that kind of attitude. Nobody would have cared, and I think it's the same situation here. Nobody should care about that. They should just care about whether he's able to contribute and put forth an effort on a squad and get himself as a football player, ultimately.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
All right, so Leah, let us know what's going on with the Shockwave before we let you go here. Any more tryouts? You guys finalized your roster? I know you guys are getting ready for Seattle here on 4-5, which is another, we're looking at about 60 days, roughly 45 days or so. Tell us a little bit about the Shockwave, where they can get, people can get tickets, fundraisers. I know you guys are in the mode where you guys have player fees and stuff like that. So where can the fans go out to contribute, either donate or for season tickets?
Well, we can always use more athletes. So if there are any women out there that are interested in playing tackle football, we're always looking for to boost our roster. So people can go to portlandshockwave.com to find out more about us. If they're interested in playing, you can find information there. Or if you're just interested in supporting us, you can find our fundraisers and other information on our website at portlandshockwave.com. We do have a fundraiser coming up next Saturday, the 22nd, so you can check that out. We are really looking forward to playing Seattle, really looking forward to that. And we only have about, I think, 6 more weeks before our first game. So if you are interested in playing, you should check us out right away so that we can get you up to speed and ready for game time, because the season is upon us. It's almost time.
All right, Leah, I appreciate you making the Sunday time with us. Congratulations on your success. You're obviously a key staple for Team USA and an amazing athlete all the way around. And we appreciate you bringing your topic and your information and your opinions to our forum today on all the things we talked about. And obviously, Jen, a great moment for her and for everybody involved in the women's game, elevated to obviously on a men's stage, and it's just an amazing week of women's gridiron in terms of not just the camp in itself, her as well. Leah, is there anywhere that the fans can dive into you besides Twitter? I know on Twitter at Leah Hindle. Do you have a Facebook, or do you prefer them go to the Shockwave page?
I do have a Facebook page, Leah Hinkle, on Facebook, and I also have a blog on WordPress.com, so you can check me out there too.
Okay, great. Leah, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Have a great Sunday afternoon. We will see if we can bring you on during the midseason and see how the Shockwave is doing and do another interview. During the season, we'll have pretty much an hour, so we'll have a little bit more time to kind of talk about what's going on within the season in the WFA. So I wish you well, and I know Scott's probably not going to want that, but wish you well against the Seattle Majestics on April 5th, and hopefully that's a win for you, and start off the season on a good note.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Leah. Have a great afternoon Sunday up there in Portland. And like I said, we'll look forward to another chat in the coming months.
Great. Thank you very much.
Have a great evening.
Leah. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So, Erica, I think we're almost over out of time probably, right?
Yep, we all.
All right. So 30 minutes have gone pretty fast. So maybe we need to change it to an hour format because Leah was very informative in terms of, all the things that we talked about. You can find Erica Lynn Anderson on her rant. I'm pretty sure her voice is back, so we'll probably get a rant, right?
yes, I should probably find something, but I can always find something to rant about for sure. So
so let everybody know where they can find the rant, gridirongirls.org, before we get out of here.
Yep, gridirongirl.org. You can find my blog, and then at PepsFangirl12, you can find the link to my YouTube, which is where my rant will be.
All right. So, Erica, anything else before we take off on this Sunday? And then we'll be back next week with another guest and information.
That was just great to listen to Leah. She was really great. It was awesome to listen to her.
Great. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, we will see you guys next week on Gridiron Blitz, 30 minutes, going in with the women's game. Again, the recaps for the women's game on Twitter and on Facebook. And like I said before, you can find our blog and our podcast on ultrasports.com, on Twitter at ultrasportstalk. And you can always leave us a comment here on blogtalkradio.com. So for Erica Lynn Anderson, Oscar Lopez, we will see you next Sunday. Thanks for tuning in to us. And we'd like to thank Leah Hindle for making time on Sunday. And we look forward to another Sunday edition of Gridiron Beauty's Blitz next Sunday. Have a great evening, everybody.